continue to focus on halachas that relate to Kohanim, but because of the limited nature, namely, tomorrow night I'm saying the Shia on the Parsha, as opposed to Thursday night. I hope they announced it, or I don't know if they did or not, but hopefully they promulgate that information. Thursday night is Lag Omer, so I'm not saying the Shia. I have to have three chasms that night. But Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu. So tonight I'm going to discuss something that's nogea to the Parsha of Emor. Ahora, inmediatamente. Akshav. So I translate to other languages, Latin and Greek. The beginning of Parshas Emor, the Torah describes the halachas of Kohanim. Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron, v'yamarti aleihem, l'nefesh lo yitama bi'amov. Kohen has to be careful regarding Tumah. He's only allowed to be matami himself. And the Torah then lists the relatives he's allowed to be matami himself to. The Gemara in Sotah has a machlokes. Is this a reshus? Is it a chiyuv? Is it optional that he can be matami himself? Is it obligatory? And then there are a series of other halachas the Torah mentions. Lo yikruchu karcha b'roshom mufas zikonam lo yigalechu uvipsarom. The Torah says they're not allowed to make any kind of incision. Kidoshim yiyu leilo heihem. A kohen has to be kadosh, has to be sanctified to his God. Lo yichalu shem Eloheihem. God forbid they should not, by having recourse to things that can violate their kedusha, their inherent sanctity, so they are going to be mechalel the kedushas kohuna. He has Ishi Hashem, Lechem Elokeim, He Makrivim, Oyu Kodesh. The Kedusha emanates from the fact that they are Meshasi Hashem. They're the ones who serve Hashem Yisbarach. The Gemara has a machlokes several times in Shas, or the Hanikani, Shluchim Dindon, Shluchim Rachmona. But for our purposes, there's no Nafkimino. But the Shluchim of Klal Yisrael, or emissaries of Hashem Yisbarach, they have a certain Kedusha. So now the Pasuk then goes on to say, Bikidashto, there's a mitzvah saseh called Bikidashto. We have to sanctify the Kohanim. Ki es lechem elokecha hu makrid. Halacha l'maisa. Waiters in a dining room. So, who should be served first? The Kohanim. My Rabbein were very makrid about that. That the Kohanim should be served first. The Gemara has a whole list of things that Kohanim should come first. The question is that a din daraisa? Is that a Torah obligation? And the Torah says, v'kidashto ki es lechem elokecha hu makrid. Kadosh yi elokti kadosh ani Hashem v'kadishchem. Or not. So Tosfos Chulin already writes that's an asmachta. Asmachta means it's not explicitly a positive commandment that the Torah has legislated, but it's the Chazal introduced a rabbinic din, a very important one, and generally they peg it to a pasuk. And they peg it to a pasuk that either the pasuk has some connection to this din, or according to the Rambam, it's a memory device. Many Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. They contend that it's actually connected to the pasuk in some form or fashion. So the Mishnah writes in Gittin, the famous Mishnah, it's called Halacha Shacharich and the Dinim of Kriyas HaTorah. That's the reason why a Kohen takes the first Aliyah, the Kidashto. And if someone would grab that Aliyah, he'd have to pay the Kohen the Knas. That's a Gemara Chulin, Asar Zehuvin. He would have to pay him because that's the Din. The Torah Rishon, the Baruch Rishon, based on this Asmach, according to the position that I just mentioned, Tosfos and Chulin. But the Magen Avraham claims that no, it's a din d'oraisa. It's a Torah obligation to sanctify the Kohen. And now there are many, many questions, and I'm going to just try to briefly overview some of the issues that relate to this mitzvah saseh of the Kidashto. What's the din of a cotton, a Kohen cotton, going under the age of bar mitzvah? Is there an obligation of a Kidashto to a child who's a Kohen? So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, I believe it's a Resh Pei Beis, then the Magen Avraham actually comments that there is no obligation of a Kidashto regarding a Kohen, Kohen, a child who's under Bar Mitzvah. Why? Because a Kohen is not correct. He can't do the Avoda. He's not a Bar Akrova. The Pasuk says the Kidashto, as Avari mentioned, Ki Eslechem Elokecha Hu Makriv, because he offers up Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen, Kohen cannot do so. He's not a Bar Akrova. And therefore, the dinim of a kiddushah would not be applicable. Simply reading the text of the pasuk, that's what the Magen Avraham writes. It's true, Pirkei Kohanim were doing different things. The Gemara describes that in Sukkah and elsewhere. But that was not per se in Avodah. We're talking about that which is connected to the Pasuk Hakrova. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Abi Kivege, actually, since you started off with me, I didn't plan on discussing this, but Abi Kivege Nagos on Shulchan Aruch, actually, so he refers you to a Toras Kohanim. He asked the Kasha, Toras Kohanim, which is the Medrash of Vayikra, comments that a Balmum, what about a Kohen Chas V'Shalom who's a Balmum? I'm not describing that what is considered to be a Balmum. That's Mishnayis and Megillah and Becheres. A number of places in Shas, the Chazal described what a Balmum is, but it didn't say a Balmum, someone, God forbid, a Kohen who has a blemish, there's a din of a Kiddushto. He's not Roy Lak Rava. So is there a distinction between a Kohen and a Balmum? There is a distinction. Now, Chazal, Darshin, Kedoshim, Yiyu, Le'olayim, Afilu Balimumim. That they're considered to be Kedoshim, they have a certain Kedusha of Kohuna, even if they are blemished, even if they have a blemish. So why is it going to be different? So this Kashi is discussed by the Mechas Chinuch, by the Prima Godin. Many Achronim actually enter this this area, and they want to be Mechalik between a Kodin and a Balmum, that even though a Kodin also eats Kodshim and is included in some form of Avodah, and a Balmum actually, however, has an advantage over the Kodin. He is Chalik the Kodshim. A Kodin can eat Kodshim, but he's not Chalik the Kodshim. Even though he eats kachim, he doesn't have a schus chaluka when it comes to kachim. So that's the mechalik between the distinguishes in a balmum and a kodin regarding this halacha. That's again not the issue I'm so interested in discussing right now. But you should, since you alluded to this issue, so the and the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, and the Rambam discusses these halachas, so he points out that he quotes the Toras Kohanim that there's an obligation to be mechabed even balimumim, even kohanim who are, God forbid, who have a blemish. There's a din of Ikidashto, the one has to sanctify them and honor them. The question is, why is there a chiyuv? So the Rambam says, because it says Zera Kodesh. Kohanim are considered to be Zera Kodesh. They have an inherent Kedusha. And the Rambam, I think his lashon over there is, Kol Zera Hanichbad Hahu. Anyone who's a scion of that, of Kahuna, of that dynasty, of that legacy, Kol Zara Shalaron Kodesh. And there's no distinction whether the Kohen is Tomei, the Kohen is Balmum. They have an inherent kind of kedusha that is their legacy that they inherited, and even with manazeh, where there is no avoda today, we don't have the avoda. Unfortunately, we ask Hashem constantly, "B'Hashem is avoda the Dvir Beis Sefer." We want Hashem to restore the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash. We want to have the restoration of the kavanos, but still, a kohen is royal avoda, and therefore, that even a kohen is a chiyuv of kavod. Very fascinating. Now that you really got me on a roll. Now there's Chafetz Chaim, so he writes, if I'm not mistaken, in his psicha. When he actually mentions all the minyan ha'esin, he talks about, I alluded to this in an earlier shiur, a very fascinating Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim writes, if a person speaks lashon hara in a shul, so now there's the Eiran Yisur of lashon hara, he's also Eiran u'migdashi tiro, that the Gemara has a Megillah, migdash ma'at, based on the Pesach Yecheska, v'ayla migdash ma'at. So Beis HaKnesset is a migdash ma'at, it's a miniature kind of Beis HaMigdash. And therefore, not only Yoyver and Lashon Hara, Yoyver and Migdashi Tirol. So comes the Chafetz Chaim and has a similar kind of maskana. It's quoted Mishnah Berurah also, by the way, besides the psicha that he mentions when he lists all the essen, the positive commandments and the negative commandments. So he also says something of a similar nature regarding this halacha. Namely, if a person goes ahead and speaks Lashon Hara about a kain, and I speak.
In a shul.
No. In a shul would be what I just spoke about. If I speak Lashon Hara, let's say in the street, Chas v'shalom, I meet a Kohen, and I speak Lashon Hara lefono, to the Kohen. I speak Lashon Hara. So besides the Yisurim of Lashon Hara, Zokta Chavetz Chaim, I'm also over on the Aseya v'kidashto. If I speak Lashon Hara about him, about the Kohen that I'm talking to, because I'm being Megane, the Kohen lefono, I'm actually, Chas v'shalom, ridiculing, and in effect, making light of a Kohen in his presence, and that's a violation as well. The Chavetz Chaim, I believe, there talks about, we have gone off the route. But the Chavetz Chaim there talks about even, what about Shalom upon him? That's what he discusses. What would be the din of, not in the presence of the Kohen, and behind his back, I go ahead and speak Lashon Hara. So now the question is, that maybe that halacha v'kidashto is also chal. Even though, more likely it's chal when it's upon him, when it's in his presence. But if it's Shalom upon him, when it's not present, am I over as well on that Easter as well? So that's what he discussed the Chavetz Chaim. But one thing is clear. that you're not allowed to be mevaze zaro shel Aaron HaKohen. Chas v'sholom, my father Shalom taught me to have such derecherets for Kohenim. I try to have derecherets for everyone, not just for Kohenim. Chas v'sholom, I derecherets for every human being, even a non-Jew. Because in the Mishnah Pigavos, I heard from Agdolim, Abayim Tzalav Eitzis Atzal. Chobim v'adam shenim v'avim tzalav, going on a goy, going on a non-Jew, created by Tzalav Elokim. So we have to have, obviously, derecherets, even for a non-Jew. Was better to tell, okay, let's just try to get back on the course, even though now I don't have my GPS with me. Anyway, so let's use the other example that Gemara has in Psochim, which is also very relevant, namely, a shidduch. Whom should we try to marry? All of us are married here, so, but young people, should we try to marry into a family of Kohenim? To marry a Bas Kohen, even the Yisrael should try to marry a Bas Kohen. I've noticed lately, I have actually a number of shidduchim that I was involved in indirectly, not directly. I've never really been zeichet to make a shidduch. Somehow I don't have that koyach or that hatzlocha or that mazel. But I have a Rebbe in my yeshiva who's made tens and tens of shidduchim, scores of shidduchim. And a number of times I was mesader kiddushin for two families of Kohanim. The girl came from a family of Kohanim and the boy came from a family of Kohanim. Wow. That is the ideal. That's the Gemara Psochim. That's Mamish the ideal. And that's actually, the Gemara says in the Gemara Daf Mem Tes over there, Psochim. It's a school of Ashiras. It's a school of Atzlocha. You marry into a family of Kohanim. And Haroi says, She is Asher, Chazal say, Yidovik Bizar Shalara. Someone wants to become a Tarai Chayit. There are a number of ways of becoming a Tarai Chayit. Asher to Asher, Gemara Tanis, Asher, Asher, Bishul Shetis Asher. You give Meiser, then you'll become wealthy. That's a pasuk in Tanakh. I didn't show off, and the same thing applies as well. If you're married to a family of Kohenim, you're davening Bizar Shalaram. That's also a school. It's a school actually for Ashiras as well. So, meinoch hisa, if the person is not royal, then it can be a sakana. You go marry into a family of Kohenim because they are zibu go to yofe. May not necessarily be the ideal kind of situation. Okay, so let's go back to our issue. So now the pasuk says over here, "Bas kain kitia leizor, he b'srumas hakadoshim lo sechel." You know, a bas kain is able to eat truma because the kain, of course, is given truma. A bas kain can eat truma if she now marries outside of the family of kahuna, so then she can no longer eat truma. Or the pasuk says, "A bas kain kitia almanu gusha v'zera ainla," mean eshes kain and her husband passes away. She's now an almana. So there's obviously smichas aparshios. So Chazal, in effect, indicate that this is certainly a very, very significant connection that one could possibly have. A connectivity to Kohanim is something which is incredibly choshen. So the chiyuv of kiddushin, by the way, applies not only to Yisraelim like ourselves, but it applies to the Kohen himself. What does that mean? That it applies to the Kohen himself, and the Kohen himself has to have a hargosha. He should have a very strong sensitivity that he's Mizara Shel Aaron HaKohen, and he has to be Shomer al Kedushaso B'Yoser. He has to make sure that he guards his Kedusha, he guards his inner sanctity, and he's given a Koyach HaBracha that no one else has. A Koyach HaBracha to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael, the Samuch Miyah B'nei Yisrael V'Ani Avarchim, as I described last time. Namely, that he is the pipeline, he is the shunt, he is the channel, he is the tzaneret. To give a bracha to Klal Yisrael, the Rebbe Shlomo is the one who's giving the bracha, but it's Bigdushas Piv Shel HaKohen. It's using his mouth, and therefore he has to have, as they say in simple Yiddish, which you understand well, Arena Moil. He has to have a peh, which is Tor, a peh that's Kadosh, that reflects HaKohen Kedusha. You are the Shluach Dachmona, the Baruch HaSam Yisrael. You are the Shlech of Hashem is brought to give a bracha to Am Yisrael. But now there's a question that this now brings me back to my days, to the days of my youth in the Bronx, New York. Oh boy. The wild and woolly days. I don't think you ever heard of the Bronx. Except for me. And maybe here there are one or two other people who know of the Bronx. Rabbi knows of the Bronx because he lived in Queens. All the refugees in the Bronx ran to Queens. They told me that the Bronx was destroyed by two things. The Cross Bronx Expressway that drove a wedge between the Bronx, and that's when all the Yidden moved to Queens. And the second thing, Cobb City, that was supposed to bring about the Geula. It was a massive project that were built over there. And I'll just leave it at that. The Gula didn't come, and essentially, the Bronx was essentially emptied out. We were one of the last families that remained in the Bronx, because my father was shown, didn't believe in moving. No one's going to, there was not a Rav left in the Bronx. And that's when four David brothers became Rabbanim. We were before Bar Mitzvah, two after Bar Mitzvah, two below Bar Mitzvah, I was below Bar Mitzvah. There was no one to do anything. So we started saying shurim in the shuls that we davened in. There was no one else to, we said shurim picking up us, and then the chumash, and then the mishnayos. So we were, I guess you can call us Erev Rav, Erev Rabbonim. My father thought it was a good thing. Makom she'ed anoshim mishtadu yasish. And that's what happened during those years. So why am I telling you about those years? Okay, here we go. Kohanim. So the issue was, can the Kohen be Meichan? It's covered. There's a dinner of Kiddashto, a Mishnah in Gittin, a Kli Aloch, a Psuk, and Shalach. You give the Kohen the first Aliyah. So now the question is, let's say you have too many Kohenim, or you have a lot of Yisrael you have to give Aliyahs to, and you don't want to give the Kohenim the Aliyah. You don't like the Kohenim. You don't think they're worthy of getting the Aliyah, and all kinds of other things. When there's no Rabbanim, Hefker reigns. That's exactly what went on over there. It was the Wild West. That's what I remember as a youngster. So Kriyas HaTorah, the Poskim say, you shouldn't be Moichel. You can't be Moichel. Because the whole reason for it is Darkei Shalom. So people should come to Machlokes. So we give the Kohen the first Aliyah, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what the Gemara says. Because we're afraid if you don't give the Kohen the first Aliyah, oh boy, there's going to be the Wild West out there, and the Israelim are going to essentially contend with each other. Who's going to get the Aliyah? So that's what we accept. So, for example, Monday and Thursday. Well, of course, we have Kriyas HaTorah, and let's say now I have someone who has a yartzeit, he has a chiyuv, and now if the Kohen gets the Aliyah, and let's say there's no Levi, and now he takes two Aliyahs, and I have two yartzeits, and what's going on? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? And there aren't too many shuls. Because it was towards the end. So what does one do? So ideally, the Kohen, if he's willing to do so, should leave the shul, should walk out. But to Yimeichel, and he's there, or they say the Kohen is present, B'mchilas Kohen, then Yimeichel on his behalf, which I saw all the time, is absolutely unconscionable.
Well, it's true. Can he be mobile? I mean, have this year with Corona, so there's... If someone's going to want to lean the whole parsha,
there are poskim who say Zaloba said it best, as Rabbi indicated, that he should leave the shul. He should leave that area, not be present, but to go ahead and assume just because of Corona, many other reasons, many poskim are completely posted. Asaloejik, oh, lahashmi daru gulabi, and the summer. There's a question: if there's no lady, and the Kohen knows from the very beginning, he's going to take, obviously, the second Aliyah. Shemar said that if there's no Levi, so then the Aloch is his father, Chavilo. 2 days in Rashi, what that means, Rashi Git, but I'm not getting into that issue right now. But he's going to have to make a second bracha, so maybe he should go, because maybe it's a shalom of bracha shen etzvicha. No, it's not. Not called a bracha shen etzvicha when he takes two Aliyahs and he makes two brachas. There's no problem. You have a shredish. But let's say, not according to the Minhag HaGro, you repeat one pasuk, and the Holy Rabbi Shmuel, Sudi Megillah. So even according to that opinion that you repeat one pasuk, it's also not considered to be a problem for him to take two aliyahs. There is a discussion in the poskim with reference to, let's say, sometimes you have, I saw this also when I was a kid, that they used to sell aliyahs. They sold aliyahs on Monday and Thursday. By the way, in some shuls over here in this neighborhood, they do the same. I don't want to mention which ones. They sell aliyahs on Monday and Thursday. A shul that has no rub. But anyway, the kids are so, they sell aliyahs. And so now the question is, are you allowed to go under those circumstances where there's a tzarech tzibur, let's say a very strong tzarech tzibur, that we need the money? We have pasha, we're in a very difficult situation. So now can you go ahead and, shall we say, and tell the Kohen, please, maybe you should leave. Don't be backing in the Aliyah. Well, the pasha already have a basis. There's a tzarech tzibur. If there's a need for the tzibur to go ahead. But this is something that one has to be very careful about, the Kiddushin. Okay. What about using a kohen being mishtamish b'kohen? There's a din of shogalach, very clear halacha, and mishtamish b'kohen. The end of the siman kuf chav ches. This siman that deals with all the halachas of brichas kohanim. At the end it says and mishtamish b'kohen. A kohen can be meichel, but others say only if it's a hanasa. If it's, he's going to get pleasure out of being meichel, but otherwise tamazay, he can't be meichel. And mishtamish b'kohen. And I myself saw a number of times in my lifetime gedolei Yisrael who were Kohanim, and others who also Gedolei Yisrael, and they were Mishamish the Kohanim. They say over from the Chassam Sefer, Abnasan Adler, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, and the Bala Flo, they all were together. One was a lady, one was a Yisrael, and they said that was the moment, of the greatest moment of Rebbe's. One God of Yisrael washes the hands of the Kohen, who also happened to be a God of Yisrael. So that was a sight to behold. It's described actually in the Poskim. They're talking about in the Chuvas. And I'm nothing. Hakohen Adler called the Nesher HaGodol, the Great Eagle. He had a lot of very fascinating hanhogos that were just very unusual, very extraordinary. But the fact of the matter is that there is an inyan, as I said, that certainly kohenim have a certain yachas, and one should be. I'm extremely careful. My father was very makbid not to do any kind of, especially with kohenim, not to ask any kohen to do anything for him. Even though the Kohen may have wanted to do it, and it was not a Shimush Bazui, certainly with a Shimush Bazui, that's for sure absolutely unacceptable. But assuming not, I mean, sometimes you see Talmidim in the Yeshiva who want to be Mishamish Rabbonim in the Yeshiva. I have this issue on an ongoing basis, and Talmidim are Kohenim. I have a lot of Kohenim in my Yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, Ken Yibu. So anyway, so they want to be Mishamish Rabbonim in the Yeshiva. So I think that is something which is covered up to you. That's a proper thing. It's not Shimush, which is Bazui. They wouldn't ask him to do anything that's inappropriate. There's even a shayla if there's no kohen. Someone asked me this question today. If there's no kohen, what about a levi? Is there a din of being maktab a levi? Let's say brichas habazon. Is there a din of being maktab a levi? Brichas habazon, that the kohen is not there. Kohen b'varach rishon. What about a levi? So if you remember, and I was a sandik on Friday with Dr. Simcha Rimla, who had a baby here, right downstairs, I believe, in this auditorium. This ulam. So there was a question. I didn't stay for the meal, which wasn't here anyway. It was in his home. But there was a question regarding the issue of a levi. So that there's in the Paskin, I think in the Semir Shalach, also in the Shulchanach, actually says Tov lahatim a levi bebrichas habazon, unless the Israel is the god of Batera. The Israel happens to be a big tamachocham, so then you can be back from the levi. If you remember, it says in the Bris Milah Bishus Hakoyim Halviim. You've been to Brisim, I'm sure you have. That's a nusach, which is found actually in the Brichas HaMozim by Bris Mila. Actually, what does that mean? Does it mean Bishus HaKonim VeHalviim, that the Leviim also have a schus? Or does it mean there are two girsos? One girsa is Bishus HaKonim VeHalviim, so that means they have a separate status. Another girsa is Bishus HaKonim HaLviim. But the Gemara says, V'chavdal V'kemis, Nekroam Koyanim Leviim. 24 places in Tanakh, the Koyanim are called Leviim. Anyway, this is a second area. I want to go to another area now. I'm just going to briefly describe this, and that's the area of Kohen and Betumas Mes. That's a very complicated area. And even Akide Kach, where the issue that's discussed by Poskim, what about a woman, Isha, Eishes Kohen Muberes, a wife of a Kohen who's pregnant, can she enter Oel HaMes? We know that a Kohen cannot enter Oel HaMes. By the way, this is an issue that comes up all the time. And among the thousand reasons to move to Eretz Yisrael, there are a thousand. We'll get to them in Minch Hashem eventually over the years, hopefully. But among the thousand reasons to move to Eretz Yisrael, one of them is that the hospitals here are much more Kohanim friendly than hospitals in Chutz Lartz. I'm not Kohanim friendly at all. Kohanim asked me, their wives have a baby, and now they want to visit their wives in the hospital. Did they go to the hospital to visit their wives? So if you're in an area, certain hospitals in Eretz Yisrael, more than you think, have Baruch Hashem Kohanim friendly zones. And they'll also tell you whether there is a pathological issue, pathology issue right now in the hospital. Is there a dead body present in the hospital? Sometimes they have separated the morgue area or the pathology area for the rest of the hospital. Depends on which. And many hospitals here have rabbanim who are on top of these things, very much so. So they're in a better position, a better situation. Now, it's true that in Chutz Lartz there's a ma'ila because they're talking about primarily non-Jews. And a non-Jew, this is a machlokes in the Gemara, we pass it a non-Jew, it's not the time of Oel HaMes. Therefore, that's another makom lahakel regarding a non-Jewish hospital. But in the Jewish hospitals, you have an Eretz Yisrael. So now the question is, Eishes Kohen Uberes, can she enter actually the Erel Amei? So Kohen Kohen is also the Tamei. The Gemara says, the Pasuk in Emor, Rashi quotes it, La'azik Gdeilu Malak Tanim. Emor Alakon B'nei Aro, La'azik Gdeilu Malak Tanim, that even Kohen has to be careful, has to be wary. And the Rambam quotes this Alocha, that the person is Matami Kohen B'shege Gleike. You're violating, you get Malkus. You're violating a law, you're violating a negative commandment, because he knows and the Kohen does not know. And even though the question is, what is the mocker of the Rambam to say what he does, because the law of the Kohen lo yitama, others say, no, you can read lo yitame, as opposed to lo yitama. There are different readings of the text actually here in the Pasha Nemba. Whatever the case is, issues in Uberes, so then possibly she might be usher the Hikonis lo elame. She will not be allowed. Pregnant woman, the Eishes Kohen, not be allowed to enter a hospital. And others say that it's mutter. There's a Rishon in the Rokeach, I actually quoted the Rokeach on Shabbos in my second Rosha. With reference to a question that Moshe Blass asked me, I discussed the question of counting 15 days, for those who remember. But anyway, the Rokeach is a fascinating sefer. So he writes the Halacha, he says that it's a Sfek Sfeika, because maybe, God forbid, the child that is she's carrying, maybe a nafel, God forbid, she might miscarry. Maybe it's a subject, whether it's a nafel or bakayam, and even if it's a bakayam, maybe it's in a keva. Maybe it's a female, not a male. So there we have a sex faker, and that's why he's mako, he sounds his mutter for Aishas Kohen to the Kanis Leil Ames. But the Bagad Abram and Sim Shin Men asked the Kasha on the on this Okeh, because he says that it's what's called Tara Blua. There's a Mishnah in the Kvos, Mishnah in the 10th paragraph in the Kvos. Tara Blua, if it's something which is within, correct? We're talking about the fetus is inside the mother, inside the mother's womb. So therefore, it's not a kabbal tumor. So the whole issue is not an issue. Okay, I'm not going into that area of tumor v'tara. I'm just mentioning all this because this is an area which also has in it elements of halacha l'maaseh. Okay, I'm not, as I said, going into the details. I want to really talk about a very fascinating Mishnah in Maseches Yodayim. You may be familiar with this Mishnah because it's a famous Mishnah, and I want to read it to you and then discuss a little bit from a Hashkafic standpoint the Dusha of Kohanim. The Mishnah writes over here in Maseches Yodayim the following. Omrim Tzdukim. The Tzdukim who deny Torah Shebal Peh, I call them the Sadducees, and they're called Tzdukim because Tzadok HaBaisis were Talmidim of Antignus Isoko. And unfortunately, they deviated from the path. They heard from their Rebbe, Altiu Kavodim Hamsham Shem Sarav Amasa Kavod Pras, and Mishnah Pirkei Avos, don't be like an Eved who serves his master in order to receive a reward. So they said, well, what's going on here? A poil works the entire day, and now he's not going to receive any compensation. He's not going to receive any kind of reward. What in heaven's name is going on here? Absolutely unconscionable. So because of that, Pirshim Adivah Chachomim, they decided to move away from the classic Masorah, and as a result, there were many, many kitos, many different unfortunate movements that emerged as a result of that. And therefore, so the mission goes on to say, Omrim Tzdukim, Kaivulonu Alechem Prushim, Shatem Omrim, we have a taina on you, the Prushim. What's the taina? There's a shul over here called the Prushim Shul. Have you heard of it? Prushim are from Yerushalayim. They're very medactic. That's what they call them, the Prushim. So anyway, we have a taina on you. What's the taina? You say Kisvei HaKodesh Matami Yadayim, that Kisvei HaKodesh is Matami Yadayim. There's a halacha, by the way. It's relevant to Megillas Esther. If you read Maklaf, you have to wash your hands beforehand. That's a din. Kisvei HaKodesh Matami Yadayim. And yet, Sifrei Homeris, the books of Homer, ain't Matami Yadayim. How's that possible? That's what they asked. Omer Rabbeinu Ben Zakkai, V'chein Lano Ala Pushim Elazu B'Vad. Is that the only issue? They say atzmos chamor tahorim, the bones of a chamor tahor, that the bone is not metame. The atzmos yechin kohen gadol tameim, are the bones of yechin kohen gadol atame. So Amulah, they said to him, lefi chibosan he too mosan, depends on the chiba, depends on the love. So lo yasel the atzmos of the imot tarbodes. We don't want the person to go ahead and make the bones of his mother and father chas v'shalom into spoons. Amulah, okay, af kisvi akodesh lefi chibosan he too mosan. The sifrei homer. So I want to just use this Mishnah as a point of departure, if you don't mind, to discuss a little bit the chilukim between a Jew and a non-Jew. Rav Soloveitchik commented a number of times, he said this, that, you know, the Gemara Megillah, all of you are familiar with the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara said there are two types of chafotzim shel mitzvah. One is, which is known as, and by the terminology the Chazal used, it has inherent kedusha, like I said, the Torah has inherent kedusha, and the other tefillin has inherent kedusha, anything that has a Shem Hashem in it has inherent kedusha. And then there are items that don't have inherent kedusha, lulav, and esrog, means they are called, they are chetzah shel mitzvah, but there's a difference between two types of chafotzim shel mitzvah. One has inherent kedusha, and the other one, the kedusha, as it were, is only b'shas asiyas mitzvah, when I'm performing the mitzvah. So one of them, it says that it's rocking. The other one says dignozah. The halacha is that tefillin have to put in the geniza, they put in the geniza, because it has inherent kedusha, inherent sanctity. Mashenka, the other, doesn't have inherent sanctity. Only b'shas mitzvah, it's muktzah the mitzvasa. It's muktzah the mitzvasa, designated for the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is no longer extant, then there's no longer halacha that you have to be concerned about it, then you should, you can discard it in a bakover the kind of fashion. So that's the distinct. I'm sorry?
And the other is
Nizrokin. So the difference, of course, lies in the fact that one has inherent kedusha, and one does not. Rav Soloveitchik said that's a chiluk between ayid and agoy. Agoy is essentially considered to be something associated with the mitzvah, but they're obligated to design mitzvah b'nei noach. And then the halacha is there's no din of kavura that applies to a goy. We might have discussed in Sanhedrin this question. Whether Kura is Yishum because Kavod HaMes, Kavod HaChayim, but whatever the case is, there's a din of Kura. But that din only applies to a Jew, because a Jew is obligated to 613 mitzvahs. And we are, our bodies become Niskadesh, our bodies are sanctified as a result of our obligation to fulfill 613 mitzvahs, and we learn Torah, and therefore we have a Dusagov, and mainly requires Kura, it's considered to be not something which is simply a mitzvah, but rather, it's not Tashmish Mitzvah, it's Tashmish Kedusha. Tashmish Kedusha Nignozin, that's Lashon Gemara Megillah, Tashmish Mitzvah Nizrokin. There's no Chiv Kura when it comes to a non-Jew. It's true, in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes in Chumash, in the Pashuk Kiseitse, the Torah has there a whole Pashuk describing that Mosol Nivlas Alaetz, He covered to Gwena by Yom Ahum, Kikil Nasalukim Tolu, Velosu Tamis Ad Mosra Asher Hashem Ovech Amesil Lecha Nachala. There could be an Eretz Yisrael, this is in the Kura that applies even to a non-Jew. That's why Yeshua, when he took care of 31 kings, so they were hung up for a day, and then that night, they had to be buried because of this, L'Sol Nivos Chala'etz, He covered Tikvene Bayom Ahu, Kikil HaSalukim Talui, V'lo Setami Yesad Moscha, Asher Hashem Okecha, Dafke Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so there's a distinction between, here we have between a Jew and a non-Jew, we have a Kuach between the Tzukim and the Prushim, and I mentioned the Kuach a second ago, and then Rabbi Yechem and Zake responds here. But the point of the Gemara, I believe, is along the following lines. And I'm going to explain it in light of the issue of Kedusha Saguf and Bizayin Hames, and we'll explain exactly what we mean. You are aware of the Gemara's all over Shas, and those who learn Shabbos and elsewhere, that the Mishnayos of Taurus, you see this, that Bizman Chazal, they somehow, they were worried about Truma. How are they going to guard the Truma and its sanctity? Gemara and Shabbos says, you could use it as fuel to burn under your tafshil. Truma Tahir has to be eaten by a kohen. So how do you preserve this? To put it in smur. And who came? The achbarim. The Gemara says came. The mice would come. The rodents would come. And of course, they'd eat away. They want to get to the truma. They'd eat away at the smur. That's what the Gemara says. So of course, they made a chazal. Because of that. So they wouldn't go ahead and put the truma in the svarim. And therefore, they didn't do so. Truma, kachim. Now, the reason why, again, when we're talking about, the Gemara says here, this Mishnah Yadayim, I just read that we're worried about chas v'shalom, people taking bones of people after they die and using it as spoons. But the Chazal don't really tell us. We only see one thing. The Tzlukim wanted to undermine the Torah. They didn't accept Torah Shabbat Peh, didn't accept the oral law. They wanted to negate, repudiate the oral law. So what exactly is going on over here? So there's an Arachayim in Pashas Chukas, and the Samsevak quotes it in the Tshuva, that the goof of a mace, the body of a deceased person, of someone who died, has a nartik of an neshama. Just like you have a nartik for tefillin, you have the tefillin zekel, you have the tefillin case, so too the body of a person is the zekel for the neshama, is the repository or encloses the neshama. The neshama is the kadosh, has kedusha, and the goof is the levush. The goof is the nartik. It's the enclosure for that neshama. So a Jew who's Mekayim Torah Mitzvah, as a result of that, he becomes a Tashmish Kedusha. His goof is Niskadish. his body becomes kadosh, has a certain kind of kedusha, and that guf, of course, is the lavush for the neshama. And once the neshama leaves, what happens? So the guf remains with the lachluchis of kedusha, and we paskin that tuma. If tuma wants to survive and tuma wants to sustain itself, tuma has to have some sort of source of unika. Where's the source of unika? So the source of unika for tuma is from kedusha. The sitra achra, which is the Yetzer Hara, Malach HaMavis, whose son, who Yetzer Hara, Malach HaMavis, the Gemara said, the Sitra Achra is Yonek from Kedusha. When the Kedusha is weakened, then the Sitra Achra is able to come in and be Yonek and gives Koyach to the Tumah. The person who's living is not Matami Tumas Meis. The person who's living, is there's no Tumah. But once a person dies and the Neshama leaves, and there's a Lachluchis of Kedusha that's left, then the Chitzonius and the Klippas come along, and in fact, they try to be Nene from Lachluchis of Kedusha. Our Chaim gives a mashal over here in Bashar Sukkas. The mashal is if there are two chaviot, if there are two barrels, one barrel of vash, of honey, and one barrel, which is rachmanu litzlan, a fertilizer, of zevel. So now you put them in the open, you put them in the marketplace, and now the flies come, and obviously where they're going? They're going to the honey. They're not going to go to the zevel, they're going to go to the honey to have hanoah. So when a Jew dies, that's a chavis malei advash. That's a chavis full of honey because the chavis is Mali Mitzvahs, Mali Torah, Mali Kedusha. And now what remains, there's a Roshev of that Vash. There's a Rishuma that remains with that Vash, and the Klippas want to be Yonek for that Kedusha, and that creates Tumah. But in the case of a non-Jewish body, a Goyshe Kelpa, so there's no Kedusha, Namel Samatame. And that's what the Archaim HaKohen says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, don't say Zos Chukas HaTumah. That's the Mokor, that a Jew has a Kedusha HaTorah. And that's the Shorish of the Din of Tumah Sames. Because the goof of a Jew is a nartik shel kedusha. It's a zekel, like a tefillin zekel. His goof is a zekel for kedusha, and b'shas, it's yes neshama. In effect, that's when I pointed out a second ago that that's when you require shmirah. And in effect, so now let's go to the kohanim. So now this is what we're going to be messiah with in terms of kohanim. The Torah says, kedoshim yiyu le'elohem. And the kohen has a certain kedusha. They're more sensitive to tumah because of their kedusha skeuna. Because of their high level of kedusha, so noilam meis, magom meis, apoygein in their darga of kedusha, they're not careful regarding tumah. It can affect, it can impact their kedusha. They say over in the name of the Vilna Gaon, kach shamati. They say over in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he once went with his brother to visit the kever, I think of his mother. He went to visit the kever of their mother, and when they came back, the Gaon, he asked his brother, did you see our mother's face all lit up? That her face was luminous. There was a luminous quality emanating from their mother and the simcha that she had when we went to visit her. He said that to his brother, the Vilna Gaon. And what the Gaon was saying, that our mother had tremendous nachas ruach as a result of our coming to visit her. And the Gaon saw it. And a number of days afterwards, so the Gaon said to his brother, now he feels already, he has a hergish of that which he lost as a result of going to the mevaker of his mother. Mitzad echad, there was tremendous simcha. Mitzad sheni, he thinks he was pregnant in his kedusha. There's a pgam in his kedusha. By the way, the briskas don't go to Torah because of that reason. They have a kind of thanatopsis, fear of death, which is a famous poem. Okay, that's for another occasion. That's my father's friend. But anyway, so a regular person doesn't feel anything. But the Gaon with his Kedusha, so he felt on the one hand a simcha, they went to his mother. On the other hand, it was Goren, it was Magish, that the Mesach Kvaros was literally impacted his own Kedusha of his personality. As a matter of fact, there's a famous Igeres Hagro, which I imagine maybe some of you are, many people read the Igeres Ramban. My father used to read it every Motzei Shabbos. Every Motzei Shabbos, Noch Adola, we were more or less compelled to sit down and go to the Igeres Ramban. The others, my chaverim, went to the movies and late movies and who knows what other movies, and were busy having a good time. My father said, we're having even a better time by reading the Igeres Ramban. So that was every Motzei Shabbos, and then once a month we read the Igeres Hagro. That was another Igeres. That's Igeres. The Gaon wrote when he wanted to make Aliyah. He wanted to return to Israel. The end didn't work out. It's a famous Igeres Hagro that the Gaon wrote. Very beautiful, absolutely beautiful letter and every word is Kodesh Kadoshim. Every word is really sanctified. And there he tells his mother, he tells his wife, don't go to a Beis HaKvaros. One of the things he mentions over there. Don't go to a cemetery. Why? Because all the klipas are there, especially regarding women. It's a minute that, for example, many women who are pregnant don't go to cemeteries. What about klipas? What about Azel Chazachet? So now we understand, going back to Kohanim, a Kohen has an inherent Kedusha. And therefore, because of that inherent Kedusha, so the klipas are trying to get at him. The Sitra Achra is working overtime to get to those Kohanim because they want to be yoneg from the Lachuchas of Kedusha. That's how things that are Tomei, their entire chiyus comes from Kedusha. From Lachuchas of Kedusha. So they want to go after Kohanim, want to pursue the Kohanim. When they live, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be Metamei, even Lov and Limo, also in Chumash. He can't leave the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash Shol Yitzei Bo Yechal is Mikdash Elohim. He knows there because the Keser, Shemen Elokov, all of Ali Hashem. They say that Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Ravedi, when he's Nifter, so they announced Nishtokim Kehuna. There's no Kehuna today. The Kehuna is Bota. And the Vela, there's a sheet actually in Tesis, quotes in Ksubis, famous of Chaim Kain. Tesis says, they keep it tzaddiki, Ben Metamim. They're Kain who go to Hebron. My Rabbeinu held this also the Hechlet. Oh, one or two of our brothers who are making on this matter. Asolovechik was Nochamo. Lahashmi, Barag, Lahabed, against it. You know, passing like that sheet of Chaim Kain, Bashum, Father Baifed. There's a famous sefer called Ashkafta the Rebbe. This sefer was written, the Friedeker Rebbe, the Babcher Rebbe, the Friedeker, the one before the present one, as they call the Heimdeker. All of Ashalom, Zechen the Bracha, Zechatan the Bracha. Anyone, the one before the Heimdeker, the Friedeker Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Yisrael Shneerson, when he was Nifter, so there was an Adam Gadol who observed his every step of the way prior to his Ptira. His name was Agoin Harav Moshe Duber Rifkin. He was the Masmich in Yeshiva Torah V'Das. He gave Snicha in Yeshiva Torah V'Das. I was zecher to know his son, Agoin Yashalom Rifkin, that's how. He was the Rabba Ear of St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis is a city in the middle of the United States. You can't imagine you heard of it. The gateway to the West. But I lived there. Every city I went to was clear. I could have always sent me for different reasons. I had a chavrusa with this Agoin Yashalom Rifkin. 1981 to 1984, with the rabbi here. There was another Adam Gadol in the city, it was a Talmud Rav Shimon Shkop. I know with him, Yerushalmi's in Zroyim. It was a rabbi in a shul that wasn't attended by too many Balabatim, was not in a good area of the city. But I had a chavrusa with him on an ongoing basis. It was Gvaldik. I know why I went to that city. Each city, there was a reason why the Rebbeinu Shem sent me there. I mean, I was a menahel of a high school. But whatever the case is, so the this Rabbeinu HaKodesh, when he was Nifter, so I'm talking about now the Friedrich Rebbe, so this Rabbi Shadu Rifkin, every single step of the way, he writes it out. And the same is called Ashkafta the Rebbe. So then he went to Agar Yom Sheber, Moron Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, to get right Askoma. So the Rav looked at the Sefer, was dispelled for it, wrote Askoma. And then he decided to look a bit more carefully. So towards the end of the Sefer, he writes that when Rabbeinu HaKodesh was Nifter, there's Achroza that... that basically, and Kahuna, and everyone could be Mitami himself. So Rav Soloveitchik saw that. He took back the Askama, and the Sefer had already been printed. And he said, tear out the Askama from every single Sefer. So I have a copy of the Sefer with the torn out Askama. Rabbi Rifkin himself, that's how he gave it to me. Rabbi Yir, Rav Shalom Rifkin, I wanted that Sefer with the torn out Askama. This Askama has been published since. It's a beautiful Askama. He writes there about the conflict that he had between his literature side, and he had also the Tia to Tanya and to Chassidus and to Dvarim Shebikdusha like that, that he was struggling, a constant struggle between those two. Very fascinating. But the Maisa, I have a copy of that Sefer with the Torah out there. So this is the text of Chaim Kain and Tzubis that he writes over there that you can be Metame if we don't pass the halacha like that. And the matter of fact, Ramin HaKadosh, when he announced that, they announced that Ein Kehuna Hayayim, but the Kahuna and the Rishayim say, what does that mean? That now Kohen can be Metame themselves, Daraisa. They're allowed to become Tobe, to go to the Levaya, or maybe only Tumah Darabana, Beis HaPras, different types of Tumah Darabana. Maybe that's a Bokum Darakel, but not a Tumah Daraisa. So Abchaim Kohen said that if he were at the Levaya, Rabbi Natam, he would have been Metame himself. He was a Kohen. One of the Balei HaTesis, Abchaim Kohen, had he been at the Levaya, Rabbi Natam, he would have been Metame himself. because the kedusha of Avinu Hakadosh was ad kedekach even after yotza nishmasa the ginzim romim, but azag guf niskadish ad kedekach rechitzayin could not have no shaychus in his guf, zero. They were not able to have, and therefore his guf is not betameh. There's no room for all the klipas to come and be yedek and whatever lachluchus of kedusha. Not possible. I'm just expressing to you what is written in the Sfarim regarding that matter. Halacha l'maaseh said there's no head there whatsoever. The poskim are against this, but I'm simply trying to indicate that simply the Musa Haskel is pretty clear, namely that Kayanim are miyuchadim. We are an amma tulita, consists of a tripartite kedusha of Kayanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and that kedusha emanates from the kedusha guf that Kayanim have. And a Kohen can come to incredible heights. Every one of us can come to incredible heights, but a Kohen has an advantage, a distinct advantage. Every Jew has a Kedusha because we have Mamlechas Kohen, a God Kodosh. Pashin Yisrael, the attempt to the Mamlechas Kohen, a God Kodosh. And we have to be careful with our Kedusha as well, with the Kedusha of Anishama, the Saguk. However, unquestionably, a Kohen is Meyuchad. And that's what you see all over Chazal. Shiny Kohenim, shiny Kahuna. In every Masecht and Chast. That Kohenim have a different madrega. No, alavai that all of us should be nizar, to be very, very extremely cautious and careful and circumspect regarding the Kohenim in our midst. And we have, Baruch Hashem, a number of them. And we should make sure that we mekayim, kikidashto, kiaslachem alkech u'makrib. Alavai, all of us should continue to aspire the heights of Kedusha to the extent that we can, even Yisraelim, even Levim, and obviously Kavuchim, and Rosh Hashem, the Kohen that we have among us who are at a much higher madrega than all of us.